Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's first day of July 2019. Well, certainly June was a case of you didn't want to sell in May and go away, or you would have missed a huge run. And here to opine is Mickey Fulp for our monthly major market review for 2019. And Mickey, hey, as always, welcome back. You find Mickey at mercenarygeologist.com, where he's got his site going on and good info there. I read every one of the mercenary musings that comes out, and we will be talking about black gold, Texas tea, whatever they called it on the Beverly Hillbillies, oil. We're going to be talking about that in another week or two, so stay tuned. But Mickey, man, these markets this month, the only two that were down was the lowly TSX Venture and Henry Hub natural gas. Outside of that, this market was on fire now.
And what a June it was, Kerry, not only for the markets, but for my St. Louis Blues. 3 weeks of revelry with the Stanley Cup, and I'm back, and let's look at the numbers. The Dow closed at 26,600. It actually hit a high intraday during the month, but it was up 7%, more than 7%, 14% on the half. It's hard to imagine we're halfway through 2019. S&P 500 hit an all-time high during the month, closed just off that at 29.42, again up almost 7%, and 17% on the year. NASDAQ 8,006, up over 7%, and up 21% for the year. Same with the Russell 2000, 1643, up 5%, and up nearly 22% on the year. I'll tell you, our IRAs are looking quite good at this point, eh?
For sure, definitely. And it was across the board here, right?
I mean, the only thing that kind of lagged toward the end of the month was the Dow Jones Transports, and that's of concern in a true bull market. The Dow Industrials and Transports should be moving together, so we need to watch that a bit over the next month.
It's a leading indicator because when you start to see rail car loadings go down and trucking stocks go down, then that's cause for concern because that's how goods get moved.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on to the Canadian markets. The big board in Canada continues to track U.S. markets, although not so boisterously. Toronto Venture Exchange is underperforming, as you mentioned. Let's look at the numbers. Big board, 16,382, up 2% on the month, about 14% on the year. Toronto Venture at 585, despite the big move in gold, it was down almost 3% on the month, but it is up 5% from those tax loss season lows on the year. Emerging market index continues to underperform. I mean, the world basically is underperforming, or at least trailing the U.S. It had a good month, though. It closed at 1,055, up 5.7%, and up 9% on the half. So, the market's all in all looking good, but everything's basically trailing the U.S. Meanwhile, the VIX remained low all month, ended up at 15 and change. That's low volatility.
All right. Hey, so then looking at our money here, I should mention the dollar was also down for the month, but we don't look at that so much as a formal market. Foreign currency trading, it is the biggest market in the world, but the U.S. dollar was down.
Well, it was flat, actually. Closed at 96.18, same as the close last month, and basically flat for the half. But you're right, it was down. I mean, it was up 97.5 for a significant portion of the month. Took a hit toward the end of the month to close flat. Euro had a good month, closed at 114, but most of that 2 cent gain was toward the end of the month with with announcement that stimulus would continue in the Eurozone. Their economy is not doing very well. Still up 1.7%, 2 cents on the month, but down for the half from $1.15. Real news, I think, in money would be the 10-year Treasury. The Fed is just a mess. You know, they came into December predicting 4 interest rate rises in 2019. They're down to 2 interest rate cuts in 2019. The market's already baked in a cut, a 0.25% cut in July. T-bill closed at 2% even, down 6.5% on the month and almost 26% on the year. Who knows what's up with Powell? The only thing I can say is we should be thankful that Trump is there to with the bully pulpit to pound on the Fed.
Yeah, well, he's been doing, right? I mean, he's been absolutely pretty merciless on the guy.
Yeah.
And you got to wonder what the deal is there. Hey, look at Bitcoin, though. That was the big performer for the month. I mean, God, you know.
All I can say about Bitcoin is it's volatile. It actually closed at 12,323. I actually think it hit 14,000 intraday at some point during the month,
yes,
but that's correct. A 45% gain on the month, a 234% gain on the year.
Yeah.
It is the second highest close ever, and that came when it went parabolic monthly close in December of 2017, and at some point during that time, it closed well above 19,000. So, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, well, it's been a surprise, but again, it looks like another unsustainable parabolic increase here. But maybe it'll go up some more. Maybe there's a whole new group of greater fools out there picking up Bitcoin, right?
Well, who knows? I do know that the day it hit 14,000, it by the end of the day, it had closed it at 12,000 and something. So I have no idea how you play that sort of volatility.
There are futures, but I don't think you could go to sleep at night knowing you had an open position in Bitcoin and you could be wrecked within 5 minutes. It had a flash crash several days ago, Mickey. $1,500 in a matter of seconds went down. If that was happening on the broader averages, there would be a panic in Needle Park, you know?
Absolutely, blood in the streets. Let's go on to gold. And that was the real story over the last week of the month. Gold closed at 1410. It actually got as high as 1430 and change, 1434 or something mid last week. But that's a 6-year high and a 10% gain for the year. Now, get this, that 10% gain all came in June, but it was a combination of things coming together: low interest rates, a flat dollar, a slowing economy, Iran-U.S. geopolitical tensions on the they're exceeding their nuclear enrichment mandates, and finally, the still unresolved trade war. Gold took a bit of a hit today as some positive news came out of the G20, but 1410 is pretty good price of gold. Silver did not participate because it is not a safe haven. It closed at 1528. Now, that was up 5% on the month, but it's still down 1% on the year. Platinum had a good month. It bounced off those lows, strong resistance now at a triple or quadruple bottom below 800, and it closed at 834, 5% on the month, 5% on the year.
Pretty
big
good
mover. Mm-hmm. Once again, was palladium at 1516, up almost 16% on the month, a whopping 21% on the year. It actually pushed toward its all-time high intra-month.
Wow. Yay. You know, it was a big performer for sure. Palladium has lately well, for quite some time, it's been really the highest performing metal. And we'll talk more about that when we get into our ratios, because there's some interesting numbers there as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So,
and let's move on to Dr. Copper.
Yeah.
Closed at 271, up 3%. It's been vacillating in this $2.70 plus or minus range here for a couple of weeks. And it's basically even for the year, down a penny. But it's the same old story, strong fundamentals for copper, but tariffs are the issue. Until that's resolved, copper's just not going to move. You know, really bullish for copper is the fact that Chinese have gone on an infrastructure stimulus jaunt again. They're building like mad. Over the month, iron ore hit a five-year high at over $100 a ton. We know what happens after the steel structures are built. You got to finish them, and that requires electricity. So that's very bullish for copper going forward.
Yeah, and, you know, copper, we've been following copper a long, long time. And, you know, it's kind of been stuck in this rut, Mickey, for quite some time. It crashed a while back. It went lower, but then it rebounded right away. And we kind of got this $2.70 to $3 channel that's been going on. And I just wonder when it breaks, how hard it's going to break, just like gold did.
Well, it's going to break to the upside whenever there's some progress, some real progress on the trade tariffs between China and the U.S. So yeah. We got a bit of encouragement on that today, and it's knocked gold below well below 1400 today.
All right. So let's look at the energy sector, which also had a nice recovery from the prior month.
Well, oils were very strong over the month. WTI closed at 58.20, up almost 9%, up a whopping 28% on the year. But remember that we had that oil crash in Q4 of 2018. The Brent price went to 66.55, up only 3% as the arbitrage narrowed a bit. It's up 27% on the year. Lots of things going on in the oil patch, record U.S. production. Rigs have declined significantly, something well over 100 year over year, but production's continued to go up. So latest numbers, as high during the month of 12.4 million barrels, the latest was 12.1 as the EIA continues to revise numbers. I can't seem to get it right.
No. For sure. And the productivity per rig, though, that's the key thing. And productivity per rig has gone way, way up. And that means that the costs of fracking are going down. And that is significant.
But on the other side, we've got way too much natural gas, flaring a lot of gas because we don't have the pipelines to move it, the markets to move it. It's kind of a shame with the amount of gas we flare on a monthly basis, but it is what it is. Price at 232, down 5% on the month, down a whopping 21% from 294 on the half year to date. We had a very cool late spring in most of the U.S. That's kind of turned around. So I would actually look for an increase in gas price with the heat wave we have in the heartland right now. We'll see what happens. But, the deal with shale oil is that those reservoirs are shallow and they are driven by shale gas. So the more oil you produce, the more gas you produce. There are some things coming in liquid natural gas with new port facilities being built, new transport vehicles being built. So those are coming. That said, our net exports of LNG increased significantly, astronomically, last year. But once again, way too much gas. Finally, uranium was up 3% on the month to 24.58, but it's still down over 14% on the year. It came off that $29 high. until we get the Section 232 administrative actions, which will happen 2 weeks from today.
Oh, really?
Uranium is not going to move out of this channel.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And hopefully that will be what it takes to really drive it, because it's kind of, again, another commodity that's been in a very narrow sideways channel. The trend has been distinctly down, but now it looks like it's bottom. So question is, will that be what it takes to really raise the bar and really get uranium going?
Well, we expect some combination of quotas for domestic mined uranium, subsidies for domestic uranium mining, and tariffs for imported uranium, specifically against Russia, Kazakhstan, and Uzbekistan. I expect the Canadians and Australians to take less of a hit, but right now we are producing only about 1% of our yearly demand for uranium to power nuclear plants, and perhaps equally as important, our 88 or so nuclear submarines and our five giant aircraft carriers around the world.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, it's been neglected for so long, Mickey. It's about time that something happened, that the government took proactive action to change the situation, because it really can't go on this way.
No, and it certainly is arguably the most strategic critical mineral in the list of 35 that the Trump administration published a little bit more than a year ago.
Yeah. So, hey, and then we got to look at our ratios, man. That gold to silver ratio is screaming,
well,
isn't it?
Yeah, some people argue that we're in a new paradigm for gold-silver ratio. It hit 92.3 at the end of the month. That is the third highest ever of 593 months since January of 1970. So this is historic. It keeps going up. At some point, you will think that silver is going to catch a fire here, but geez, I wouldn't be playing silver right now myself until this clarifies finally. Well, not quite finally yet, Kerry, but let's look at the platinum to gold ratio at 0.59. That is an all-time low. And the platinum to palladium ratio is also at an all-time low of 0.55.
Wow. You know, you got to wonder how long that can go on, but the market can stay irrational far longer than we can stay solvent, as the man once said, right?
He certainly did say that.
So, interesting month. I wonder what July is going to bring. You know, usually these summer months are kind of, again, sell in May and go away. But if that's what June was like, you can only imagine what July could be like, Mickey.
Well, I have no idea. Here's what I do know. The price of gold going up in June, 10%. We are doing the work right now, the research on that, but we're hard put to find another time since 1971 when that occurred to the degree it occurred. Usually this is the low season for gold, so there is some caution out there. You know, on the price of gold, I would not be going out and buying gold right now. So,
yeah, well, it seems that, you know, we crashed through all the technical resistance points, went up over 1400, hit close to 1450 intraday. Now it's pulling back. You would expect after a run like that, if a market is behaving, if it's a healthy market, behaving somewhat normal, and it's not Bitcoin, that it's going to have a retracement to some extent, maybe a
third.
So, and I've been saying it could lose $100 an ounce until we get into Q4, right?
Well, I don't really expect that, because I think the market timing, there were a bunch of catalysts that all came together all at once. I do expect it to test resistance here at 1380. If it goes below that, who knows? But I'm probably pretty bullish on gold going forward.
Yeah,
I'm just not going to buy on the uptick.
Yeah, it's well, that's always a sucker's game. We know that. You want to buy when the rest of the market, when there's blood in the street, as it were, and you know it goes down $23 today. It's totally expected. I mean, I've been getting comments from you guys out there saying, "Oh, what are you crazy? It's just had the biggest run it's had in 6 years, hit a 6-year high." And that's exactly the time when you've got to be very circumspect, because who knows, you know, it could easily, you know, test support. You couldn't be surprised, right?
Well, that support, really strong support, exists at 1380.
So, oh yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
I totally agree with you, but you can't be surprised about a little downside and a little consolidation at this point.
Absolutely.
You know,
your point is so well taken, Kerry. You know, we expect, when you see these jumps up, we expect the fill in to come as people play this market. So it jumped quite quickly. It went up like a rocket, 10%, yeah. $120 in a month, and there's some fill-in to be some consolidation, as you say.
Yeah, totally. Well, okay. You know, one thing, Mickey, when we go over these markets together monthly, it really gives you a perspective that you don't really get anyplace else on any other site or anywhere else. Yeah, you can look in Kitco and you can figure a lot of these numbers out, but most of the numbers that we have, these markets, you know, when you compile them, they come from many, many different sites, and it starts to give you a picture of what's going on in the markets and potentially over time, what is going on in the world economy. And I think for that reason, it's extremely valuable what we're doing here.
Well, it's valuable for me. And Kerry, I got to run. My next podcast is in 23 minutes. So,
all right. We don't want you to miss that.
Thanks once again.
All right. Thank you. Hey, mercenarygeologist.com, Twitter handle at mercenarygeo. We're financialsurvivalnetwork.com, Twitter handle at Kerry Lutz, and tweet and follow us. Sign up for our newsletters. Mickey, till next month, happy investing.
Thanks a lot, Kerry. Happy speculating.
Yeah, that too.